I would like to draw your attention to the Gospel of Mark and to chapter 6. We've been working through this Gospel from chapter 1 over the last several months, and we've now come right to the end of the 6th chapter. I'd like to invite us to read from verse 54, and we'll read on to 56. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now, the other week in our continued study of this 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we saw how Jesus walked on the sea. Now, that is not something men do or are able to do. But we find Jesus walking on the sea, and he was walking toward a boat in which his disciples had been caught up in a wind. It was in the evening, and when they saw him, they mistook him for a ghost. They were troubled, and they cried out in fear. And the Lord revealed himself to them. "It is I," he said. And we saw how that probably meant what it meant in John chapter 8 and verse 58, when he reminded them that he was the I Am. He was saying to them, "I am the faithful, covenant-keeping, immutable God who saves his people in distress. And yes, I know you are troubled. Yes, I know you have a great difficulty. And I know you have never seen a man walk on the sea. And I understand that you think I am a ghost. But it is I. It is I." And then he went over into the boat and sat with them. And as soon as he did that, the winds ceased. Indeed, how can God and trouble be in the same place? Except when God is in control. And the trouble was that the wind caused trouble to his disciples and to the boat. They needed respite. They needed peace. They needed calm. And so when he went among them, the wind ceased. And we are told in verse 53 that they were able to cross over and to dock on to the other side. Today, I wish to draw your attention to a passage that at first glance appears to be of little importance, perhaps of no consequence. Indeed, it reads like a repetition of what we have kept reading in this Gospel of Mark. But it is important, otherwise God would not have put it in his word. And it is important because in it we find instruction once again concerning the person and work of our Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed, great and majestic person of our Savior. It is fair to begin by saying that although Jesus is the focus of attention, he is not the obvious subject of this passage. The subjects are the people who are benefiting from his ministry, and there are things they are doing. And these are the things I wish to draw your attention to. Four of them in particular. First, they recognized him. They recognized him. In verse 54, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people, we read, recognized him. In other words, they had come to know him, and they had come to understand who he was and the effect his person could continue to have upon them. They had come to understand that at this moment in time. Previously, it was in this very place, in Gennesaret, where the people had earlier asked Jesus to leave because he had healed a demoniac, he had transformed his life, and he had commanded the legion of demons that had been in him to go into their animals. The animals then went into the river and drowned. Then they looked upon him as one whose miracle, as it were, shattered their economy and shattered their livelihood. And they felt that if he continued to live among them, they would not know what other thing would be shattered. And so they asked him to leave. They were angry with him, but they asked him to leave. They were amazed at how he could command a legion of demons to leave. But they asked him to leave. They had some idea that something spectacular, something supernatural was on this man. But they asked him to leave. Well, they now wanted him to stay. They now wanted him around. Why were they no longer chasing him away? Well, his fame had gone far and wide into the villages, towns, and countryside. And no doubt they had heard about all the miracles he had performed. They might have heard about how he fed a crowd of 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Did they also perhaps hear about how he walked on the sea? They might have had. But they would particularly have heard about the story of the woman with the issue of blood who had come to hear about Jesus and followed him with intention to only touch the hem of his garment, believing that in so doing she would be healed from her flow of blood. Well, it's clear from this account that they had heard about that. And it had the effect of convincing them, persuading them, that if they too could merely touch the hem of his garment, they would believe, they would be healed. Furthermore, they believed that if their relatives who were sick and in need would merely touch the hem of his garment, they too would be healed. They therefore believed that he would do them good and not harm. That is why they would have wanted him to stay, to hang around. They now had a true recognition of this man. We learn from this that faith begins with hearing and with a recognition or knowledge of Christ. Not only knowledge of his ability to heal physically, but knowledge of his ability to heal spiritually as well. The physical healings that the Lord Jesus Christ conducted served as a sign of who he was, namely the Messiah. The things he did by way of healings and other miracles were meant to point to him. They were a message about him. He didn't just heal. He didn't just perform miracles. He was saying something about himself. Well, this is certainly what the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17. Let me read it to us. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and then he healed all who were sick. And then in verse 17 we read, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah wrote about 800 years before Christ came. And Isaiah identified that long-expected Messiah as one who would be characterized by the fact that he would take our infirmities and bear our iniquities, bear our sicknesses rather. This was not going to be true about every man. Sometimes modern healers read a scripture like this and say to themselves, but the Bible says he took our infirmities and carried our diseases, therefore we must take infirmities and carry other people's sicknesses. Well, it does say that about Jesus. It is not saying that about the modern healers. This is how he would be identified. 800 years before he arrived, it had already been written that this is how he would be identified. Well, now he has come. And yes, just as the prophet had said, he is bearing people's infirmities and carrying their sicknesses. And so the miracles, the healings, were meant to point to him. And they were not an end in themselves. They pointed to him. What exactly did they point at in him? That he would be the one by whose stripes we would be healed from our sin and from our strain. And there are people who limit the fact that his stripes are for our physical healing. That wasn't even the most prominent idea when Peter wrote about it, quoting from Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 11. Let me read that to us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. In other words, we are able to live for righteousness because by his stripes we have been healed. He clarifies this further in verse 25 when he says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The problem is that we were like sheep going astray. That's what we needed to be healed from. That was the most important reason for Jesus' coming. This is why he went to the cross. This is why he died. That he may pay for our sins. That he would become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That because he has died, we would not die. Because he has died, we would not be cut off from God. Because he has died, we would be treated as God's friends and drawn from our sin and wickedness and brought back to God. That's what we needed to experience. That was the healing. He who could heal physically was being shown to be able to heal spiritually. They recognized him. Have you heard about people he has healed? Maybe even physically? And have you heard about people he has saved? Have you read the story of the apostles and how they came to faith in Christ? The story of the apostle Paul, who referred to himself as the chief of sinners, who was on a mission to exterminate the church, and on the way to Damascus, he met the Lord. The Lord arrested him. The Lord stopped him in his tracks, challenged his mission, and revealed himself to him and completely transformed his heart. And his mission, we must say. Have you heard about that? Have you heard about the conversion of some of your friends living today who were bad? They lived bad lives. And they met the Lord, and he has changed them. Have you recognized that Christ is the one who changed them? Christ is the one who healed them. Just as these people recognized that this Christ is the one who had healed the woman with a flow of blood, he could therefore heal their relatives. They recognized him. Have you recognized Jesus? Well, let's hurry on and pick up our second point. They carried those who were sick to where he was. They carried those who were sick to where he was. And we read that in verse 55. Perhaps reading it together with 54. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Because of what they had come to know of Christ, they ran through the whole surrounding region, apparently looking for all who were extremely sick, who were very sick. And they knew that he could heal them. We know that these people were very sick because they had to be carried to Jesus. And that word carry can also mean bear. They carried them. They carried them on beds or on mats. Something similar to a camp bed. I imagine that they would have been in the same category as the woman with the flow of blood, whom we have already read and learnt about in Mark chapter 5. She had suffered many things. Well, to start with, she had been living with this condition for 12 years, bleeding continuously. Her blood could not clot. And she had seen many doctors, many specialists. This one suggested one thing and provided some remedy of sorts, and it didn't work. And she goes on to yet another, and it doesn't work. Physicians were basically making money out of her. But her condition remained unchanged until Jesus showed up. She found her refuge in Christ. And she knew and believed in her own heart that she only needed to touch the hem of his garment and she would be made whole. And so she did. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Well, even so, these people here were running around to fetch people who were practically unhealable. And they carried them to Jesus. They could not walk. Some of them might have been lame in their feet and so could not walk. Or they might have been too ill, perhaps to the point of death, and so they could not walk. The doctors could not help them. And these people carried them to Jesus. He was their only hope. In their view, at this moment in time, only this man they now recognized as the Messiah could help them and heal them. The man was Jesus Christ. And we do see here a pattern for ourselves, don't we? We have recognized Christ. We also know that men around us are in desperate need of help and salvation. The solutions they might have given themselves to in the past have not helped. They need salvation. And somebody told them that they could be saved by merely getting baptized. And they got baptized and they were still not saved. Others told them, well, they needed to repeat a sinner's prayer. And they repeated it, and they are still not saved. And still others told them that they needed to join a church and become active and do good works, that would help. And they are still not saved. Man-made solutions did not help. What must they do? What must we do to help them? Well, we must behave like these men did. They literally worked hard to go and fetch those sick people and bring them to Christ. It is as if they are saying, at last, we found a healer. Come, we'll take you there. And off they did. Even so, we must strive to find those that need the help of Christ. We must not sit back. We must strive to bring them. All who are in need of spiritual medicine, we must go and get them and bring them to Christ, the great physician, that they may be healed. Souls are dying every day. You as a believer, you can't sit back and watch and let them die and end up in hell. You must do something about it. You must go to them. You must find them. You must tell them about Jesus. You must bring them to Jesus. And time is short. Opportunities are rapidly passing away. The Bible says the night comes when no man can work. While it is still day, while there is still opportunity, go and look for them. Go and find them. And when you find them, bring them to Christ. When did you last talk to a sinner? When did you last talk to your unbelieving relatives? They live in your own home. They may be your children, and they are still in your home. Do you share the gospel with them? Have you told them about Jesus? Have you brought them to Jesus? And you're part of a church that has been commissioned to take the gospel to the world. Are you part of that effort that seeks to go out and look for sinners and find them and bring them to Jesus? You ought to be. You must spare no pains in laboring to bring men to the knowledge of Christ, that they may be saved. They carried those who were sick to where he was. That is the second thing. The third thing we must observe is that they begged him. When they brought these people to him, they begged that they must just touch the hem of his garment, and that will be enough. They begged him. In verse 56, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. To beg is to ask someone in a very serious and emotional way for something needed or something wanted very much. These men were speaking with desperation. That is what the word beg suggests. They desperately sensed the need of their people. And they begged to merely touch, just as the woman with the flow of blood did, to merely touch the hem of his garment, and believed that this would be enough to experience the healing of Christ. They begged. But notice that they begged to touch. To touch the hem of the garment. Now that is the language of faith. It's the language of faith. And what it is teaching us here is that faith is a firm belief, a conviction. You need to believe. You need to believe in order to be saved. You need to believe in order to benefit from the work of Christ. Your belief is what connects him to you. You need to be connected to that source of power. You need to be connected to that source of energy. And we must note here that the faith was not in the garment. Otherwise, they could have touched any other garment. It didn't need to be the garment of Christ. The faith was in Christ, whose garment it was. The garment appears to have efficacy because it was the garment of Christ. The power is in Christ. And this was, of course, made very clear in Mark chapter 5 when Christ was dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. As soon as she touched his garment, it is said that he felt power go out of him. So it doesn't say he felt power go out of the garment. The power went out of him. This is what chapter 5 verse 30 says. So it's not about the garment. It's about Jesus, whose garment it was. The begging and the faith were both felt by Christ. If they had not touched, he would not feel. They touched and he felt. He felt their sense of desperation. He felt their faith. He sensed their situation and he sensed their belief in him. Faith is the language by which we communicate with God, by which we make our need known to him. In Romans 10 and verse 13, Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's those who call. It's those who put their faith in Christ who are saved. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we are told that faith is the means by which we please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because these men had faith in him. And you will note that it was faith on behalf of those who were ill, who were very ill. It was vicarious in that sense. Because these men had faith in him, Christ was pleased to hear them and to heal their sick. If you would be healed today, healed from your spiritual sickness, whatever it might be, maybe you are sick with pride, you are a very proud person, you believe only in yourself, you have a very high opinion of yourself and you look down on everyone else, everyone who doesn't think as you do, you look down on them. You can't so much as apologize even for wrongs you do, because in your own eyes, they are not wrongs. They're proud. You may be a man full of anger, a woman living with bitterness, a child full of selfishness. And your sin is what stands between you and your God. Perhaps you have begun to sense a need to change, and you cannot change until you put your faith in Christ. You cannot change until you touch the hem of Christ's garment. You cannot change until in some way you indicate that you can't save yourself. Men cannot save you, but Christ can. And if you truly believe, Christ will. Faith is the means by which you can be connected to Him. The fourth point I must make is that they were being healed. The sick were being healed. In verse 56, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And then we read this great statement. And as many as touched him were made well. As many as touched him were made well. Now notice that they didn't bring about the healing by themselves. They were being healed. They were being made well. You can notice the passive voice there. And as many as touched him were made well. They were not in making themselves well. They were being made well. So although we don't see Christ as the actor, in fact, he was. This is a story about how these people were responding to the fact that they had recognized him. They went for the sick, they brought him to him, and they were being made well. Christ is the one who was making them well. Now the word translated healed, or in my version, made well, it actually means to save. Same word used for what we may term as spiritual salvation. Same word, sozo. Saved. And the idea is that of at least as applied in this context, it is that of saving from disease and its effects. So there are two things being emphasized here. First, that their healing was in the present continuous. They were being saved. They were healed and they continued to experience the effects of that healing. So this is something that didn't happen for a few minutes and then it disappeared. You get healed at some crusade and by the time you get home, you are sick again. And what you had at that meeting was some kind of psychological experience which made you feel good for a moment. But the effect wears off as time rolls on. This is not what was happening here. The healing was abiding. The effects were ongoing. And the people who might have been watching were witnessing, were seeing this. But another thing we must observe is that they were all healed. As many as touched him were made well. They were all healed. Whatever their conditions might have been, they were freed from those conditions. They were saved from those conditions. And not just some of them, but all of them. There was no case of Christ failing to heal any one of them. People going with shriveled arms and crooked legs didn't go back with crooked legs. They were all healed. And this is a major difference between the way Christ healed and the way many healers of our day do. For many healers of our day, there are many who go back the same way that they went, in spite of the claims that are being made about them. Here, as many as touched him were made well. Even so, Christ will heal you completely when you touch him, when you call upon him. He can heal you, yes, from your physical illness, but he can heal you, even more importantly, from your spiritual maladies. He can heal you completely. Well, those are the 4 points. I want to conclude this sermon by drawing your attention once again to that word, recognize. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. That is where they started from, recognizing him. And that recognition just seemed to change everything else that happened thereafter. They recognized him. In this instance, we see that they recognized him primarily as a healer. One who had healed many from various diseases. Small ones and big ones. Complicated ones. He had healed them all. They recognized him. A recognition of Christ. That is where we also need to start from. We must recognize him. Secondly, A recognition of Christ in his person and work must inspire us the way it inspired these people. It must, first of all, inspire evangelism concerning Christ. Evangelism means doing the work of evangelism. In other words, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They recognized him. They saw the good in him, the power in him, the greatness in him. And they went through that whole surrounding region as if to say, Jesus is here! Jesus is here! The healer is here! If you are sick, we must take you there as quickly as possible. This is the good news. That's more or less how their message might have sounded. Well, we must do something similar. We have recognized Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man, who has done a great work of salvation that saves us from the penalty and power and presence of sin. He has transformed our lives. Look at what he has done. We must go out there and speak about him. We must go out there and shout about him and share this message with others. The recognition must inspire evangelism. Have you recognized him, and have you been inspired in this manner? Worries me sometimes that people get saved. They stand before us. They share their testimonies. They tell us about the transformation they experienced. But you don't see any concern in them for other souls. You never ever hear that they spoke to someone about Christ and they have brought someone to Christ. It's as if Christ doesn't exist. He hasn't met them. They haven't had an encounter with him. If you have recognized him, surely you must be inspired to gossip about him, to draw people to him. Evangelism concerning Christ. The recognition of Christ in his person and work must inspire belief in him. Belief in Christ. You can't be exposed to the greatness of this person, to the power in his person, the power to heal, the power to transform, power to change lives. You can't be exposed to such a person. You can't have come to recognize that and not put your confidence in that. Not put your faith in that. Not believe in that. No one else has this kind of power. No one else has this kind of ability. For you to ignore that which you have recognized is to do a disservice to yourself. It must inspire belief in Christ. Thirdly, a recognition of Christ in his person and work must inspire trust in Christ. These people didn't just recognize him. When they did, they got to work. They ran. That's what verse 55 tells us. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick. They got to work. And they begged him. This was proof of the fact that they had confidence in Christ. They trusted that he could do this. If you truly have confidence in the Christ you have come to recognize, you must trust. You must call. Call him. Call him. Go to him. Beg him and ask him to heal you. Don't waste any more time. Act. And then finally, a recognition of Christ must lead to healing. As many as touched him were made well. They recognized him. They touched the hem of his garment. And they were healed. Or maybe you have recognized him. But have you touched the hem of his garment? You haven't, you see. This is why you are not healed. This is why you are not saved. You need to touch that garment. You need to overcome the things that are keeping you from touching that garment. What are those things that are keeping you from touching it? What are those things that are keeping you from coming to Christ? Get rid of them. Turn your back on them and touch the hem of that garment, and you will be among those many who are made well because they did. May the Lord bless these words to your soul and change you for Jesus' sake. Amen.